John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12, we're working our way through this text. Lazarus has recently been raised from the dead, and the Lord Jesus has been threatened with his life again. The Pharisees are so upset by the power of the testimony of the raising of Lazarus from the dead and the multitude of people who are coming to faith in Christ. They're so threatened, their institution, their religious institution is threatened. And so they're angry. They're looking to catch Jesus. They're looking to kill Jesus. If you'll back up and begin reading with me in verse 55 of chapter number 11, the Bible says this: "The Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?' Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him." They're looking to kill him. Verse 1 of chapter 12, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, 'Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always.' Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because," verse number 11, "because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." We come to this famous story, this famous passage of Scripture, and this is recorded here in John chapter number 12. It's recorded again in Mark chapter number 14 and Matthew chapter 26. I love reading the different accounts of the same story in the gospel. You see different perspective and different angles. And in this perspective, there's lots of things that we can preach. I was looking through my Bibles, and I was noticing that on numerous occasions I've preached from this passage of Scripture, never at Chilhowee Baptist Church, but through the years I've preached through this and through the synoptic accounts of it. And there's so many ways you can preach this text, and it's an encouraging text. But today I want to take an emphasis I believe we find in this passage of Scripture and share it with you. The emphasis on Lazarus. Even more than Jesus, Lazarus is mentioned in these first 11 verses of John chapter number 12. Jesus is always the key theme of any passage of the Bible, but we can learn also from the characters that surround him. And in this passage of Scripture, we see Lazarus mentioned a number of times. Look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." At the beginning of this chapter, the Lord sets the tone that we're going to see Lazarus, the very one that was raised from the dead in the previous chapter. The Bible says in verse 2, "There made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." We see Lazarus sitting at the table with Christ. Again, we see Lazarus mentioned in another verse, verse 9. The Bible says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he," Jesus, "was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also." And the Bible just makes it clear that a multitude of people have gathered. They've gathered to see Jesus, but not only Jesus, Lazarus too. I don't believe in any form or fashion Lazarus is stealing any of Jesus' thunder. But it is quite fascinating to see that God is going to use a man that he has healed to bring other people to faith. We see him in verse number 9. We see him again in verse number 10. The Bible says, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. So the chief priest, these chief priests, I'm telling you, they are such sweet people. They're the most precious, godly influences that you've ever imagined. We've studied them and see them over and over again. How sweet they are. I mean, they have the nicest clothes and say the biggest, kindest words. But in their hearts, a blind man who's never seen, his sight is restored by Jesus. And their response to him is to kick him out of the church because he won't deny Christ. And in their sweet demeanor, Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days and everybody knew it, Jesus is raising him from the dead. And to celebrate the victory that Jesus did in the life of Lazarus and his family, this precious chief priest, what do they want to do? Put him to death. Isn't that awful? Now, I want you to know something. That spirit is possible even in the Chilhowee Baptist Church. If you love church more than Jesus, then you'll make a religion out of something that doesn't need to be made a religion out of. If you love old-fashioned, and I like old-timey. I mean, I do. But if you like old-fashioned more than you like Jesus, you're going to make a religion and you'll make horrible decisions and you'll hurt people all along life's way. We can never esteem faith traditions above the foundation of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. You can't do it. If you do it, you make a terrible mistake. And we see this chief priest. What's he doing? Oh, that sweetheart. He wants to put Lazarus to death. And in verse number 11, we see why. They want to put Lazarus to death, verse number 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Why do they want to put him to death? Because of what God has done in his life, many people were believing on Jesus. Isn't it wonderful what God can do? I want to preach from this thought and this portion of the text. Verse 11, the Bible says, by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Today's message title is this: by reason of him, many believed. By reason of him, many believed. I'm so encouraged, and the emphasis is clear in the text on Lazarus. Lazarus, 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 Lazarus. And God wants us to see some things about Lazarus and draw some conclusions about Lazarus that will help us in our Christian life. Lazarus. By reason of him, many believed. Because of what God had done in Lazarus' heart and life and the evident change in him, God was using him in a mighty way to win other people to faith in Christ. And I think that's wonderful. I pray that it can be said, by reason of Cody, many believed. That's never the goal, that I would be exalted. But I want my life to shine for Jesus in such a way that people cannot help but receive and want to know my Savior. And I pray that the people of the Chilhowee Baptist Church have a spirit and a testimony and a graciousness and a sweetness and an evidence of a transformed life that shines so brightly everywhere we go that by reason of them, many believe. We come to this passage of Scripture, and for the Christians that are listening this morning, this message, it's a very strong reminder that what we do with what Jesus has done in our hearts in our daily life is of utmost importance. We must guard our testimonies. We must present our Savior. We must witness to the lost for what Jesus has done in our hearts and lives. By reason of Him, many believed. There's some things we can see from this text as we just study the Bible together. Number one, we'll consider Lazarus' resurrection. Lazarus' resurrection. The Bible says in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. The Bible is very specific about what happened to Lazarus. Jesus comes to Bethany. Bethany's a place very close to Jerusalem. Bethany's a place of rest. Bethany is the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Bethany is where Jesus is. The Bible says Lazarus was there. And when the Bible describes Lazarus, they want us to know which had been dead. I like to think about that. The Bible says Lazarus had been dead. Lazarus was dead. We know the story. We've recently covered it. Just days before, Lazarus was laying in a tomb and his body had began the decaying process. And for 4 days he lay there. So much was the concern that his sister said, Lord, we can't take the stone off the grave because he stinks. Lazarus was dead. The Bible says Lazarus was dead. And then the Bible says, secondly, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, it's just wonderful what God did in Lazarus' life. And you say, well, I'll tell you one thing. If God raised me from the dead, I could be a bright light in this dark world. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something. I'm a skeptic of folks who die and give you all their heaven stories and then come back to life. I'm a skeptic. I really am. But I'd say Lazarus legitimately had some interesting things to say. But I do know something. I don't think that I'm going to die and come back to life and be able to use that as my model for ministry. And I don't think you will be able to either. But I do know this. I do know that if you're here today and you've been saved, you can identify with Lazarus almost identically. The Bible says when we're lost, before we get saved, the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. I was very young when I got saved, but I remember vividly being dead in my trespasses and sins. I remember knowing that my sin separated me from God. I remember it being very clear that my sin made me lost, that my sin condemned me. And I remember very clearly when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as my Savior. The Bible says when I got saved, when I repented of my sin and trusted in Jesus, and I prayed and asked God to be my Savior, the Bible makes it very clear that I passed from death unto life. And just like Lazarus came out of the grave, he that was dead, whom God raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus does the same thing in our lives spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sins, alive through faith in Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. We have something to testify about. If you're here today and you're saved, I want you to know something. You were dead and you're now alive. You have all the resources that you need for God to use your witness and your life to bring other people to faith in Christ. By reason of Him, many believed. And you say, wow, that'd be great. I could really be effective if I ever died and came back to life. You can be effective because you were dead and now you are alive. What we must do is trust the fact that God can use His Word and your testimony to bring other people to faith in Christ. You know why we don't witness? It's a couple different reasons. One, we don't witness often because of the guilt of our own sin. We don't witness because we can't witness to the same person we cussed the day before. You can't witness. You don't feel like you can. You don't feel like you can witness to the person that you lied in front of the day before or that you cheated in front of the day before. Your testimony matters. I'll tell you something. God was using Lazarus, and Lazarus, we'll see in just a minute, seated with Jesus. You can't, your testimony loses its effectiveness. When you allow sin to be rampant in your life, you lose your witness because your testimony stinks. We're not willing to witness because of our sin. Often we're not willing to witness because of our fear. What are you afraid of? You afraid of what somebody's going to say? What is that really? We cloak it in, I'm just afraid I'll offend somebody. What is that really? That's pride. That's pride. You're afraid to be identified with Christ because you're proud. You're afraid of what it might do to your reputation. At some point, Christian people, when they get to the place where we care far less about our reputation with the lost than we do the fact that the lost are going to die and go to hell. I see the balance. God will help us. Lazarus, why don't we witness? Our pride, fear, sin. One of the reasons why we don't witness is because we don't trust God to do what God did for us. You know, it's a miracle that you got saved. It's a miracle that I got saved. But we do not trust God to do in the lives of other people what He was very capable of doing in our own lives. We don't trust the process. The Bible teaches us that if we preach the Word of God, if we proclaim God's Word, God gives the increase. God saves the souls. We have to get like Lazarus, get to the place where we know that we were dead. We know that we've been raised, and we're willing to use our witness, our testimony, to bring others to faith in Christ. By reason of Him, many believed. Lazarus' resurrection. Number two, Lazarus' relatives. Let's see the other players in this drama. We see Lazarus' relatives. We see his sister in verse number 2. The Bible says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Oh, I love Martha. I love Martha. And you know, this is not a negative statement about Martha in chapter number 12. As a matter of fact, Martha had a proclivity to service. That was something that she loved to do. Have something that she was capable of doing, and God calls us to do things that we're capable of doing. She was a servant. I like Martha's spirit. Martha was the person who said, well, if that needs to be done, I'll do it. There was no job too base or low for Martha to do it. Martha was willing to do whatever needed to be done. I like that spirit. If you're going to learn something about being effective for the cause of Christ, we all must develop a servant's heart. We all must be willing to be a servant. For years at Bowling Springs Baptist Church, Ambassador Baptist College sent students up to our church, and students would sign up to be workers in the church. They would come at the beginning of the semester. They'd come. They had a couple weeks where they could visit a couple churches, and they'd come and they would commit to being in that church and be and just attend and be a blessing and be used of the Lord there. And through the years, we had a number of great students that came up to Bowling Springs Baptist Church from Ambassador Baptist College. It was great. It was wonderful. You know something I did? Almost without fail, when the new kids came and introduced themselves to me at Bowling Springs Baptist Church, I always knew of some little something that needed to be done somewhere. It was normally a piece of trash way down in the lower part of the parking lot. But the kids would introduce themselves to me, and they'd say, Pastor Sturgill, I just wanted you to know my name is, and visit your church, praying about maybe coming here this semester. And I said, oh my, that's wonderful. I said, we need all kinds of help around here. And if you're willing to serve the Lord with, that'd be wonderful. I said, as a matter of fact, I saw a piece of trash down there below the fellowship hall, which is like a half a mile. I saw a piece of trash down there below the fellowship hall, and I just didn't have time to get it this morning. Would you mind to swing down? Do you mind to run down there and get that for me? Pick it up. I'm trying to keep this place looking right. And I could tell immediately if that was somebody that wanted to be a servant of the Lord or somebody that wanted me to serve them. Because the kid who said, "Yes, sir, I'd love to." "Yes, sir, I'd love to." I said, "That's the kid that's going to be an effective servant for the Lord." The kid's like, "I mean, I thought he was going to let me preach or something. I thought I might get a Sunday school class. I thought I might get to sing this morning." That kid, I knew early on, if the Lord didn't change their heart, they'd never be the kind of life that God could say, by reason of them, many believed. The point I want to make is Martha's spirit is a spirit that makes a difference. Look, we should all be willing to do whatever God gives us to do. When God knows that He can trust you with something small or seemingly insignificant, there will be more to follow. Lazarus realized Martha, she served. Well, she was faithful to serve too. What a faithful servant of the Lord. Mary, the Bible says in verse number 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." What did Mary do? Mary was a giver and a worshiper. Mary gave. Mary had something that she knew could be used for God's glory. Now, Mary gets criticized. She did something quite unusual. She took something that was very valuable and poured it out on Jesus. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Now, people who study this and are more intelligent than me, let us know that this spikenard was something that would equal something like a year's salary. In today's numbers, it would be worth $45,000, $50,000. And she felt that it was very appropriate to make that kind of investment in Jesus. Judas criticized her, but Jesus didn't. I always see some things that happen. Have you ever wondered? I'll just tell you, if you give your all to Christ, now look, the Lord's not calling you to give everything you own to the church, and I'm not even suggesting it. But I am telling you that if God lays it on your heart to give to the work of God, both physically and financially, it is something worth doing. It's right. It's not wrong. It's good. I want you to see what happens. The Bible says Mary took a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. What did she do? She anointed the feet of Jesus. How do you anoint someone's feet? You have to be on your knees before them. What did Mary do? When Mary gave what God had entrusted to her to Jesus, she proved that she was in submission to God. I want you to know something. The safest place in the world is to be in submission to God. She's bound before Him. And when we live in submission to God, it's not a place of weakness, it's a place of great strength. She was in submission to God and anointed the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says, and she wiped His feet with her hair. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that a woman's hair is her, what's that next word? Somebody tell me. Say it again. Glory. That's right. You know what she did? It was an unusual thing for a Jewish woman to let her hair down. But she bowed humbly at the feet of Jesus. She took her glory and laid it at His feet too. You know, we like the glory, don't we? We like to get the glory, we like to have the glory. Hey, look, it's a battle in everyone's heart. If you think for a minute that you're not like that at all, you're probably deceived. We like a little glory. But when we humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus, and we're willing to let God have the glory, it's right and good. She gave, she humbled, she gave her glory to the Lord. And the Bible says, in the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I thought and thought and thought, Lord, why in the world did you include that? Oh, you know, what difference does that make? What difference does it make that everybody could smell it? And the Lord impressed upon my heart, and I saw it in some of my reading, this thought. When Mary humbled herself before the Lord and let her glory be in God's control, it helped her family. It blessed her house. It made a difference to the people that meant the most to her. You know, sometimes we don't worship God or give to God or serve God because we feel like we've got to protect our family. And I would never encourage you to neglect your family for no means. But I'm going to tell you something. When we give God His proper place in our lives, the byproduct of giving God His proper place and being willing to give and give graciously and abundantly and give like God is promising, to humble ourselves and to let God get the glory in our lives, the byproduct is a family that is blessed. The whole house was affected by our gift. And I like that. Look, I pray that a godly heritage is something that persists for generations to come in my family and yours. And when we learn from Lazarus' relatives, Martha served, Mary gave, we learn that any investment that we give, any investment that we do in the work of the Lord is very beneficial. Mary's gift blessed her, it blessed her family. It also blessed generations to come. I'll give you a little assignment. Find the synoptic record of this story and see what God promised would happen as a result of Mary's faithfulness. I'll tell you, you need to see it for yourself, but I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus promised that anywhere the gospel would be preached for the rest of time, what Mary did would be praised and glorified. Mary's made a difference, not just that day, not just at the feet of Jesus, not just in her own heart, not just in her own house, but also for generations to come. More than 2,000 years later, we're talking about her today. And I know that God can use her testimony, even in this hour, to make a difference in your life. I'm just telling you, it is worth it to give. Martha served, Mary gave, and Judas criticized. You see, we see among the relatives, that guy, Judas. It's an interesting thing. How many of you ever known a little girl named Mary? I mean, a parents, they named their little girl Mary. How many of you ever known a little girl named Mary? Anybody here have a daughter named Mary? Anybody? Anybody that is a daughter and your name is Mary? Any Marys here? I see a Mary in the back. There's a Mary. You just received an honor. When your parents named you, they said, we're going to call her Mary. How many of you have ever named a boy Judas? Point made, taken. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen, I think it says, than fine silver. It's good. Judas. Man, this guy, he shows his hand. The Bible says in verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, at first thought, you're like, that makes sense. And, I mean, I use a calculator all the time. numbers matter to me. I like numbers. And I'd say one of the most used apps on my phone is the calculator. Just so, that just reminded me of something. All you math teachers out there, I had one of you. I married one of you's daughter, said in class, you know, you're not going to have a calculator to carry around with you all the time when you grow up. Nanner, nanner, boo, boo. I do use what you taught me, though, on a regular basis. I'm a number guy. And honestly, when you think about pouring $50,000 out on Jesus' feet when there's a bunch of poor people around that need to be fed, my fiscal responsibility alarms go nuts. And Judas, when you first hear him, you think, well, you know, that makes sense. As a matter of fact, in another one of the gospel, in another one of the records of this, the disciples, they join forces with Judas. They say, you know, he's probably right. Judas sees an extravagant thing done for the glory of God, and he wants to criticize it. Folks, I want you to know something. Most criticism, angry criticism, bitter criticism, most criticism is not spirit-led. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't say, hey, look, let's think about this. But Judas, look what the Bible says about Judas. He says, why was not this ointment, verse 5, sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then the Bible gives us commentary. You see what the Bible says, verse 6? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. What's the Bible say about Judas? The Bible says, don't be fooled by his thoughts and his words about doing great things in the ministry. He has an ulterior motive. Just so you know, a lot of our bitterness, strife, it's normally motivated by pride and selfishness. Let's not fall into that trap. I want you to know something. God used Lazarus to see many people come to faith in Christ. God used Martha's service to see many people come to faith in Christ. God used Mary to see many people come to faith in Christ. But Judas, not so. You see, by reason of him, many believe. Lazarus' resurrection, Lazarus' relatives, and finally, number 3, Lazarus' results. I love this. What happens? In verse number 9, the Bible says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. They knew that Jesus was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. What happened? What was the product of Lazarus' life? It's wonderful. By reason of him, many believed. I've noted in my Bible, Matthew 5:16. You know what the Bible says? Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What should we do? And we should be determined to have a Lazarus-like existence. You said, I never died and got raised. Oh, yes, you were dead. If you're saved and you have new life, you have something to tell. You have a Savior to exalt. By all means, serve and give and worship. And the byproduct of a life that is led preaching the Word, presenting the truth, witnessing the life, the lost. The byproduct of that life is a life that will make an eternal difference in the lives of the people around you. You see, we're to be soul winners. We're to be evangelistic. We're to be faithful witnesses. We are to live our lives in such a way that God can use us to win people for his glory and for eternity. May God help us by reason of him, many believed. You know, I think it begins with a yearning in our hearts. Lord, help me to be that kind of Christian. And I know he can. I know he will. I know God will use us. May it be our burden to be a witness for the glory of God. By reason of him, many believed.